Srimad Bhagavatam of Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas. Actually, it's Srimad Bhagavatam of Krishna, which is delivered to us in this Kali Yuga by Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas. At the beginning of every Kali Yuga, there is a Vyas, the Vyas for this Kali Yuga is known as Krishna Dvaipayana. He's known as Krishna because he's dark, and Dvaipayana because he was born in a dvipa, an island. So he has presented this Srimad Bhagavatam, and Srila Prabhupada is a representative of Vyas. He has presented this Vedic knowledge by which we can understand tattva. The word in the verse I'm going to read comes up, tattva. I don't think there's any one word which translates as tattva. Tattva Srila Prabhupada, in this context, means the absolute truth. Anyway, I'll read the verse. It's one of the well-known verses of Bhagavatam for those who are students of Bhagavatam. Yeah, let's get this. Hare Krishna. They have organic flowers yet? No. Maybe if they have organic flowers, they'll smell nice, apart from looking nice. They have organic vegetables, which look nice, but they have no flavor or nutrition. So people prefer nowadays to buy organic vegetables because they have some shakti. So these are similar. They look nice, but no smell. Shakespeare said, a rose would smell as sweet by any other name, but it doesn't smell sweet. So is it a rose? It doesn't have rose dharma. It's lost its... It's the age of adharma. So even a rose doesn't have its dharma of smelling nice. This also is purchased... This one here?
It comes with the rose bouquet.
They give it also, it's also grown. Once in Zagreb, which is the capital of Croatia, they brought me a garland of all flowers which they just picked from the field. Like, more like this. They're afraid I might not like it. But I was more happy actually because Krishna is known as Vanamali. He's decorated with forest flowers. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also. Gola Deshe Vanamala. On his throat is hanging a garland of forest flowers. So this is very nice also. Maybe you could become a millionaire. Start an organic flower business. If you become millionaire, you have to give me half the profits. If you lose money, don't ask me. Just a suggestion. Prabhupada, he sat down once with Peter Burwash and told him, gave him all the outlines how to do business. He's become a very successful businessman. Prabhupada was expert in everything. Anyway, let's read this verse. Pitavad eva jignyasyam tatva jignyasunatmanaha anvyavyati rekabhyam yat syat sarvatra sarvada. A person who is searching after the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, must certainly search for it up to this, in all circumstances, in all space and time, and both directly and indirectly. Now the purport is about 14 pages long. The purports in this section are all very long. The Chatushloki Bhagavatam, the four verses which constitute the, we can say, the original Bhagavatam, from which all the rest of the Bhagavatam has developed. This section of Bhagavatam describes Tattva-gyan, Tattva-jignyasunatmanaha. The second pada, or line of this verse, refers to Tattva-jignyasunatmanaha, one who is inquisitive, jignyasuna. Srila Prabhupada has translated this as by the student. So this jignyasuna, this jignyasa, it doesn't mean casual inquiry, but it means by the committed student who wishes to know what is atma tattva, what is the characteristics of the self and the supreme self. This Srimad Bhagavatam is the Nigamakalpa Tara Galitam Phalam, the ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic knowledge. The Vedic knowledge describes tattva. Amnaya praha tattvam. Vedic knowledge delivered through the chain of acharyas describes tattvam, tattva, the phenomenon of the Supreme Absolute Truth, which means everything in relation to Him. That Absolute Truth is the Supreme Person. The ultimate stage of understanding that tattva, as described by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Tattva Sutra, his succinct delineation of the Absolute Truth, which summarizes all the truths of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is Nigamakalpataro Galitam Phalam. It is the ripened fruit of the desire tree of Vedic knowledge. So he did, the ultimate stage is Sadhyam Tat Pritim. The ultimate stage to be attained, first to understand tattva. The Vedic knowledge describes tattva. But that tattva is the Supreme Person, and that Supreme Person, our ultimate goal is to have love for Him, Preeti, to have love for Krishna, who is described here as tattva. It can be philosophically understood as that tattva of vastu in the in the verse, Nigamakalpataro Galitam Phalam, is the, in three verses, introduce, the first three verses of Srimad Bhagavatam introduce what is the subject of this book. So in the second verse, that describes Vedyam Vastavam Atravastu. This substance, this topic, this tattva, this is what is described in this book, is Vedyam Vastavam. It is the actual subject of the Vedas. All the Vedas, they describe this subject only. Sarve Veda Yat Padam Amananti. That subject which is described in all the Vedas, that is this Tat Vedaischa Sarvera Hameva Vedya. In all the Vedas, Krishna is described. Anvyavyatire Kabhyam. In the verse we just read this evening, is described that one is to seek out that tattva, that ultimate truth, directly and indirectly. So the Vedas mostly, although they only speak of Krishna, but mostly indirectly. Therefore, Vedeshu Durlabham. It's difficult to find Krishna in the Vedas. Even though the only subject matter of the Vedas is Krishna, oftentimes it may appear that the subject matter is something else, as Srila Prabhupada describes here. He begins the purport by writing, "To unfold the mysteries of Bhakti Yoga, as it is explained in the previous verse, is the ultimate stage of all inquiries or the highest objective for the inquisitive. Everyone is searching after self-realization in different ways, by karma yoga, by jnana yoga, by dhyana yoga, by raja yoga, by bhakti yoga, etc. To engage in self-realization is the responsibility of every living entity developed in consciousness. One who is developed in consciousness certainly makes inquiries into the mystery of the self, of the cosmic situation, and of the problems of life in all spheres and fields, social, political, economic, cultural, religious, moral, etc., and in their different branches. But here, the goal of all such inquiries is explained." So, yeah, inquisitive. Inquisitiveness, that is at the root of all knowledge in extent in human society, isn't it? Desire to know. Inquisitive means desire to know. Why is the sky blue? What's the answer? What? Huh?
Modern, the scientists say blue scatters the most.
Reflection of the sea, we've heard that one. Yeah, Srila Prabhupada said because Krishna is blue, the Brahma-jyoti reflects that blueness. What are the modern scientists? They don't know actually, they have different theories. There are various things which scientists don't know. One of them is why the sky is blue, which you might think is a very basic kind of thing. There are various theories about that. What's this one?
The one that I remember is the sunlight, you know, you send it through a prism or a scattering.
Yeah.
This has the longest wavelength of scatter. So that's why you see this color more
pronounced. That means if you come closer, you might see yellow or red.
They don't have the same thing.
It's a theory, but they don't really know. I heard when I was a kid it's reflecting the sea, although it's difficult to understand when you're 1,000 miles inland. But they don't know. It's just one of the things that scientists don't know. Maybe they'll know at some point in time. Srila Prabhupada said because that is a reflection of the Brahma Jyoti, which is the Ya'atmantayami purusha itisyo sangsabhivabaha yadad vetam brahma upanishadi tabapyasya tanubha. Yeah, that's the Brahma Jyoti is the reflection of Krishna's body. Actually, this verse, yadad vetam brahma upanishadi tabapyasya tanubha. Tanubha means the light from his body. But this verse actually explains Na chaitanyat krishnaj jagati paratattvam paramiha, that the Brahma Jyoti is the light coming from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body, so maybe it should be yellow in that case. The point being made in this verse is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna. The Brahma Jyoti is the light from his body. The Paramatma, who is Ya-atmanta yami purusha itisyo sangsa vibhavaha. The purusha incarnations, Kira-dakshai Vishnu, Garbha-dakshai Vishnu, and Karnabdashai Vishnu, they are expansions of that original, the Bhagavan, Shadaishwarya Purno Bhagavan, that he is full with six opulences. Yaiha Bhagavan Saswayam. Nachaitanya, that Supreme Personality of Godhead, non-different from Krishna. Nachaitanyat Krishna Jagati Param Tatvam Parameha. There's no higher truth than this. So, inquisitiveness. Why is the sky blue? What is the cause? Why do dogs bark? Then we have to do a psychological analysis of dogs. And maybe based on evolutionary theory, let's say the dog that barked survived better. So inquisitiveness is at the root of knowledge. And here it is recommended etavad eva jignasyam, that one should be inquisitive up to this point. Our inquisitiveness that can be directed to find out various matters about this world. When did America become free from British rule? Who can say? None of you are American citizens. I think you have to answer these questions to get your citizenship, isn't it? And you have to say all the names of all the states. You have to show a jigsaw puzzle where they all are. Is it this the kind of thing you have to do to become an American citizen?
Something similar.
Something like that. How many states are there in the United States? 50. 50, 51. Is it? What's the largest state? Texas or Alaska. You see, this is the nature of knowledge. People have different opinions. They have different opinions. Maybe it is an opinion, because Texas is, it may have a greater landmass but then if you take Alaska with mountains and you add up all the actual the actual landmass, not just the number of square miles it occupies, it may come to more. So then we have to define what we mean by bigger. Knowledge is not, it's not always so straightforward, is it? We have to define what, even to begin to understand, we have to define terms, what we mean. How do we understand this? Who is greater, Krishna or Radha? What's the answer to that? Well, actually, Prabhupada was asked, who is greater, Krishna or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? And his answer was, who is greater? Radharani. Because Krishna, he takes the form of Lord Chaitanya to understand the love of Radharani. So actually Radharani is the greatest. Then why in the Vedic literature we don't find Radha glorified? Only why Krishna? Krishna is the, from the stance of tattva, Krishna is supreme. From rasa, which to Krishna himself is more important, then Radha becomes more important. So it's a matter of perspective. Who is the original form of Bhagavan? Krishna or Narayana? Krishna, we say. But others will say no. Narayana is the original form. Krishna falls within the Dasavatar. He's an avatar of Narayana. It's also true. It's not untrue. Krishna, when he appears as an avatar of Narayana. First he appeared as Chaturbhuj Rup. So it's a matter of perspective. From a higher perspective, Krishna is the original form. From the perspective of Aishvarya Gyan, opulence, Narayana is supreme. Because he appears to exhibit more opulence. But actually Krishna has all that opulence. But he's so, although Narayana and Krishna are not different, but Krishna is so opulent that he doesn't even care very much for the opulence, to show all that opulence. But he's more interested in, Gita Govinda describes how this Supreme Lord, worshipped by so many Lakshmis, is running anxiously looking for Radha, who has abandoned him. So, again, from the, it's a matter of perspective. But the ultimate perspective, as perceived by Krishna himself, that is the ultimate perspective. Etavat, up to this point, this should be inquired. Up to this point. What is that point? Aham eva sameva agre nanyad yad sarasattam paschad aham yade tachcha yovashishyatim. What is that? Yovashishyatim? Sosmiyaham. That before this universe was created, I existed. After it ceases to exist, I shall exist. This is tattva. This is Bhagavat Tattva, understanding the nature of the Supreme Lord, philosophically. Beyond that philosophical, there is something which is beyond Tattva Gyan, there is Rasa Gyan, and that is the special contribution of Srimad Bhagavatam. Rasa Gyan rests on Tattva Gyan. Those who want to understand Rasa Gyan without understanding Tattva Gyan, they will simply be cheated. They're cheating themselves. Nowadays there are many translations of the works of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who wrote on Srimad Bhagavatam and other scriptures, illuminating the rasik, or I don't know what's the word in English, the leelas of Radha and Krishna. What are the delightful loving exchanges between Krishna and particularly between Krishna and the gopis. But although some devotees are very eager to read about this, they don't know that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he's also writing so many philosophical. He's not devoid of philosophical knowledge. And in those sections of the Bhagavatam which describe Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam, scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead, which discuss Tattva Gyan, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is providing all explanations. So if we think I'm not interested in Tattva Gyan, I just like leelas, but that's not the path given by our acharyas, it's not the path given by Vyasadeva, it's not what is given by Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the literary incarnation of Krishna, so that we can understand Krishna and enter into the mystery of Bhakti Yoga. Srila Prabhupada begins this purport, this long purport, by discussing the mystery of Bhakti Yoga. So that is to be understood philosophically as much as we can, because How much can be understood? Even Krishna himself, even Brahma, he says that jananta eva janantu kimba hutana me prabho manaso vachaso vapi vaivavam tabakocha, that even I, Brahma, with my four big brains, I cannot understand. Others may say they know. Manaso vapaso vacha. Others may say, I understand Krishna. But as far as I'm concerned, neither mentally nor by discussion nor in any way can I properly understand Krishna. And even Krishna himself, he can't understand his own glories. It sounds impossible, doesn't it? Krishna's own glories are so unlimited that even Krishna himself doesn't fully understand them. Therefore, he takes the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to taste the sweetness of his own self, which as Krishna, he cannot. He's too busy being Krishna to appreciate what it means to love Krishna. So it is unfathomable. But we are enjoined, we are directed on the bhakti path, we are given the path of bhakti yoga as given in Srimad Bhagavatam to approach the subject matter of Krishna, which is the only subject matter ultimately to understand. One's inquisitiveness may reveal knowledge of history, geography, science, but the ultimate subject to be understood is Krishna. We were just seeing in the bookstore, they're advertising Harry Potter and the something, new book, Hallows something, whatever Hallows. What does Hallows mean? Anyone knows? Sound rhymes with gallows. You know what gallows means? It means for hanging people. So Harry Potter, modern fairy stories. So probably they have some professors at the university analyzing Harry Potter. Do they have, and they analyze Shakespeare. What is Shakespeare? It's fiction. Some historical novels are there based on the lives of real people. But it's what is the point of analyzing figures? They have this English literature. There's one of the subjects they had at school to study, which you can study the different novelists. Like here in America, John Steinbeck is one of the famous authors. There are so many famous authors, but the sum total of everything they have to present is ignorance of the absolute truth. Insights into the relative nature of this material world, but ignorance of the tattva-gyan, of what is actual reality. So people are wasting their lives studying all useless things. One who is actually intelligent, etavad, up to this point, we should come to this point, studying, understanding what is tattva, what is the actual reality. Otherwise there's maya. We can study so much about maya. What is the result of studying maya? We become more attracted to maya. And what is there? Maya, maya is nothing there. That which is not. We think this is substantial. There is something here. There's something here for me. I'm going to save up my money and go to Alaska and catch a big salmon. We were told by the Nancy in the briefcase store. She wants to save up money and go fishing, and go to Alaska and catch a big salmon. That is her present goal of life. Poor Nancy. Poor everyone. They don't know about Krishna. Anartho pashamang sakshad bhakti yoga madhokshaje lokasya janato vidva lokasya janataha. Let's take the verse after that. All this is anartha. All history, geography, IT, whatever it may be, it's all anartha. It is extraneous to the actual purpose of life, which is to understand Krishna. Sarvatra sarvata, everywhere, in all times, at every moment, one should be inquisitive to find out that which is actually valuable to us, and everything else is anartha. Anartha means it's of no actual value to us, and it has the opposite effect. It entangles us more and more in considering important that which is not important. Just like we'll find crucial cricket match. It's a crucial match. Last time I was in India, there was a crucial match. India versus Sri Lanka. You see, even we have no interest in this. Actually, I was a little interested because I was thinking, the sooner India get knocked out, the better. And then this pagalpan, this craziness will stop, and then people might start coming to the temple again. And we won't be disturbed at night by hearing all the screaming and the ooh, ha, ah, ah, and then the fireworks. Well, there were no fireworks this time because they lost. So, crucial match. Maybe people in India are interested, but if they're told about a crucial baseball game, no one in India will be interested. Between two baseball teams. They have... who knows the name of any baseball teams? I heard the names, but I'm not sure whether they're baseball or basketball. There's the Red Sox and the White Sox, but I don't know whether it's baseball or basketball or something. I hope you don't know. Maybe you do. If you live in this country, you probably get to know, just like I... You know, I knew India's playing Sri Lanka. I have no interest in this. That's not my anartha. I don't have cricket anartha. I was brought up watching soccer. So that's my anartha. But this is simply a cause of distress, entanglement in this material world. If one is too much addicted to cricket, he might get born as a worm in the cricket field. But this anartha can be all wiped out. Anartha, one can get relief from all of this by bhakti yoga to adhokshaja, to the transcendent Lord. Anartha pasamang sakshat bhakti yoga madhokshaja lokasya ajanataha. The people who don't know, they don't know, they have no idea. No idea about it. They're sitting here discussing Srimad Bhagavatam. Most people have no idea about this. Nancy thinks that the Almighty has made this world so that she can go on holiday and catch a salmon. Salmon, you know what this is? It's a kind of fish. She thinks she has some belief in God. All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the good Lord made them all. This is my religious education. God made this world for us to enjoy. This is childish theology. Theology actual theology begins with Vaishnava culture. Understanding who is Vishnu, what is our relationship with Vishnu, as described in Shastra. Otherwise, as Srila Prabhupada wrote, there are three scriptures for the Mlechas and Yavanas: the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the Quran. It's really, there's no advanced knowledge, actually. So we're discussing this. Vyasadeva gave this. Lokasya ajanataha. Therefore, vidvāṃs chakre sattvata samhita. Therefore, Vyasadeva compiled this Srimad, specifically this Srimad Bhagavatam, particularly this. Other literatures are there. Vyasadeva compiled the whole Vedic literature, but specifically this Srimad Bhagavatam was compiled to give clear knowledge of the Supreme Absolute Truth, Personality of Godhead. So that is that tattva that is described in what is called Chaturshloki Bhagavat. Actually, there are more than four verses that Lord Vishnu spoke to Brahma at the beginning of creation. But four of them, of which this is the last, these are considered the essential. They're from these points contained in these four verses, then the whole of the rest of the Bhagavatam is developed. Although Bhagavatam is eternal, it's also Shruti. It's generally the Puranas are considered Smriti. But Srimad Bhagavatam is Shruti. Shruti, we say that's revealed in human society from the very beginning, and Smriti comes later. But this Bhagavatam is given to Lord Brahma even before the creation. So that's also the Vaishnav commentators, especially Jiva Goswami, has demonstrated this is Shruti. This is most authoritative. Generally everyone accepts, all followers of the Vedas accept, that Shruti has precedence over Smriti. But this is Shruti. This is the Nigama Kalpataro Galitam Palam. This is the ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic knowledge. And what is only hinted at or not clearly delineated in other parts of the Vedic literature is very clearly revealed in Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. Ete cha angsha kalapumsaha. All the other avatars that have just been described previous to this verse, they are angshas, or parts, literally means parts. We understand non-different parts of the Purusha, of the Vishnu form of the Lord, who expands for the purpose of expanding the material universes. But Krishna's two, the word but is used here. But Krishna, he's different. He is Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. But Krishna is not a part of the Purusha. He's not manifest he through the Purusha, but he himself is directly the original Personality of Godhead. That is to be understood. Now, that is to be understood that Jiva Goswami has described that this verse, and particularly this line, Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam, that is the Paribhasha Sutra, the definitive sutra or aphorism through which the whole of the rest of Srimad Bhagavatam is to be understood. Krishna is the ultimate personality of Godhead. Now it may seem that, well, other avatars, they are more powerful or more opulent. That was Brahma's misapprehension when he saw Krishna running around with no shoes on, with a bunch of cows and low-class people. Just, you know, yeah, some jungle-y kind of people seems to be. There's in the village, running around in the jungles. Krishna's Bon Bihari. He has his pastimes in the jungle. And Brahma couldn't understand. But that is the ultimate opulence of Krishna. His detachment from the display of opulence and attachment to performing sweet, loving pastimes. So, there's a long purport, and I'll just, there's so much to be said. Srila Prabhupada has given like that 14 pages purport here. And that also is a summary. Otherwise, just the word tattva alone, then one can speak and discuss for days, months, years, and lifetimes. Krishnat param kimapi tattvam aham na jane. I do not know any tattva, any principle. That's another way we can translate the word tattva. Any principle superior to Krishna. So these are the words that Lord Brahma spoke. Sorry, Lord Vishnu spoke to Lord Brahma, on which the rest of the Bhagavatam expands. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. These are all very famous verses. Like I say, for those who are tattva jignyasunatmana, those who are students of tattva gyan, as given in, those who are students of Srimad Bhagavatam, they know these verses. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, jnanam paramaguhya me yad vijnana samanditam, sarahasyam tadangam cha. The personality of God had said, knowledge about me as described in the scriptures is very confidential and it has to be realized in conjunction with devotional service. The necessary paraphernalia for that process is being explained by me. You may take it up carefully. Now Srila Prabhupada translates jnanam here as knowledge about me as described in the scriptures, although only the word jnana is given. So contextually this is to be understood, that Krishna is here not talking about, when he's talking about jnana, he's not talking about jara vidya, knowledge of this material world, nor is he talking about even knowledge of Brahman or Paramatma, that circumstantially or subordinately. But this is jnanam paramaguhyam me, that very most confidential knowledge may about me, about Krishna. So that knowledge, even though it's not explicitly stated here, that knowledge is coming from scripture, from Shastra. Or that knowledge is described in Shastra. Yavan aham yatha bhavo yadrupa guna karmakaha tataiva tattva vijnanam astu te mad anugrahat. Here again, tattva vijnana. Srila Prabhupada, tattva vijnana. Who would like to translate that? These are both words known in Indian languages. Tattva vijnana. How would you, anyone like to venture a translation of that?
Knowledge of
Science of the Absolute.
Science of the Absolute, what did you say?
Realized. Practical implementation of the knowledge.
Practical implementation of knowledge. Could be translated in various ways, isn't it? Here, Srila Prabhupada has translated it as factual realization. Yeah. All of me, namely my actual eternal form and my transcendental existence, color, qualities and activities, let all be awakened within you by factual realization out of my causeless mercy. Then the Chaturshloki Bhagavat, the first verse comes up, text 33. This is another huge purport. How many pages? 5.5. Aham eva sameva agre nanyad yat sadasat param paschada hamyade tatcha yovasishyeta sosmiaham. Brahma, it is I, the personality of Godhead, who was existing before the creation when there was nothing but myself, nor was there the material nature, the cause of this creation. That which you see now is also I, the personality of Godhead, and after annihilation, what remains will also be I, the personality of Godhead. Ritirtam yat pratiyeta na pratiyeta chatmani tad vidyad atmano mayang yata bhaso yata tamaha. O Brahma, whatever appears to be of any value, if it is without relation to me, has no reality. Know it as my illusory energy, that reflection which appears in the darkness. So that is a definition of maya. Maya can be understood in relation to that which is not, is to be understood in relation to that which is Krishna. So what is maya? That which has no relation to, or that which is conceived of as having no relationship to Krishna. Idam hi vishvam bhagavan ivetara. This world is that which is conceived of as having no relationship with Bhagavan. Yata mahanti bhutani bhuteshu cha vacheshvanu pravishtanya pravishtani tata teshu nateshvaham. O Brahma, please know that the universal elements enter into the cosmos and at the same time do not enter into the cosmos. Similarly, I myself also exist within everything created and at the same time I am outside of everything. This parallels a verse of Bhagavad Gita. Who can say? Which verse that is? Jagat avyakta murtinaha. So that's the Achintya Bhedabhed philosophy is right there in Bhagavad Gita and here in Srimad Bhagavatam. Then the verse which I read this evening, actually we read it this morning in Vancouver also. Etava deva jignyasyam tatva jignyasunatmanaha anvyavar ivyati rekabhyam yat syat sarvatra sarvada. A person who is searching after the Supreme Absolute Truth, the personality of Godhead, must certainly search for it up to this in all circumstances, in all space and time, and both directly and indirectly. So in all ways, in all circumstances, this is the subject matter to be inquired into. And it continues. The Lord, one more verse is there. Etan matang samatishta paramena samadhina avan kalpa vikalpeshu navimuhyati karhichit. O Brahma, just follow this conclusion by fixed concentration of mind and no pride will disturb you, neither in the partial nor in the final devastation. Later we have Brahma Vimohana Lila. Brahma did become bewildered. He forgot that Krishna is supreme. It took him just to be a cowherd boy. So there's so much to be discussed here. So much there's. unlimited. Who is Krishna? To understand Krishna through Srimad Bhagavatam. So please, you study these books, and most of you are young householders, so you have children, so teach them this. If you can teach them this, then your purpose in having children will be fulfilled. Otherwise, there are so many children becoming, people become proud of their children becoming doctors and engineers. There are so many doctors and engineers. Let there be some who are Bhagavatas, those who are devotees of the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, it's simply unnecessarily bringing up children. All right, Hare Krishna, there's universes of discussion which can proceed from this. Are there any questions about this discussion tonight? Yeah. Yeah.
Some people in India having access to Srimad Bhagavatam read it.
Some people in India having access to Srimad Bhagavatam read it, yeah. That's true. Some people in America have access to it and they don't read it.
And yet do not come to the conclusion that you arrived at about Krishna. They still think of Narayana as the Supreme Lord.
They still think of Narayana as the Supreme Lord. Therefore, amnaya praha tattvam. Amnaya, this word comes in Chandogya Upanishad. It means that knowledge has to be received through Shastra and through the parampara of realized acharyas. Not just read the book, yes, but we have to hear it explained also. Srila Prabhupada was always speaking philosophy, isn't it? You have these books of conversations of Prabhupada. It's always everything related to Bhagavad philosophy, always explaining, always trying to make his disciples understand. It's not such an easy thing to understand because we take this material world to be real. Srila Prabhupada cautioned about reading Time and Newsweek. He said, if you read this, you'll think the material world, it's so convincing, it makes the material world seem real. And like that, we get worked up in crucial questions about America's involvement in Iraq, and it will go on, and it appears to be very important, but it's not. It's Maya, that which is not. It doesn't mean that a devotee is ignorant of this world or what's going on in it, but no one can know everything, and the sign of true intelligence is not simply to know many things, but to know what is important to know. If one knows a little bit about that which is important to know, his life is perfect. If you know a lot about that which is of no ultimate importance, then your life is spoiled. That's why even up to the present time, there are some people, very few, in India I've seen, who don't want to give their children material education. They want to give only Shastric education. I've seen in Sri Rangam one Pathshala, Rigvedi Pathshala. So they're a traditional family. They never taught their children anything. They never sent them for, in generations, they never sent them for mundane education. So he has, the teacher there, he has two students. He's a Vaishnav, Ramanuja, Sri Vaishnav. He has two students. One is from Sri Vaishnav family, the other is from Smarta family. And they're teaching Rig Veda. and Ramayana, all this. They don't want to teach this ordinary knowledge. Then they'll become spoiled, and then they'll desire to go to America or something. they'll get the wrong desire. What do they need? They have that understanding. What do they need to know all these things? What do they? Let them be in poverty all their life and cultivate. Let them get the real riches of Shastric knowledge. That's their outlook. They have that much faith that we're all right, we're poor and our children will also be poor. Let us be poor, but let us be rich with this knowledge. They're rich with this knowledge. They don't envy people who have lots of money and big bank balances and big position in some company. They don't envy that. They pity such people and how they're spoiling their lives. They have the real wealth. Then anything else?
I have a question. Before that, you said that you would speak something about sadhana and service. Maybe.
Oh, that was supposed to be the subject tonight?
Yes.
Oh, you should have reminded me. I would have spoken on that.
So maybe tomorrow.
Yeah, okay.
So I have a question. The question is...
Please, I'm sorry, you asked me about all this, but I completely forgot. I don't think we discussed since you sent me an email a few weeks ago about this. So you can remind me what the subjects are.
The question is, in Brahma Samhita, introduction...
That's why I just came in, I thought, well, what shall I speak? This morning we were discussing this verse, and... It's very interesting, so I thought I'd discuss something more.
The question is, Brahma Samhita was spoken on Brahma's glorification, was at the time of creation, after he received the knowledge. But why was it not part of Srimad Bhagavatam? There were other verses.
Why is it not part of Srimad Bhagavatam? Well, it's not different from Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, it's those verses which are extant, and all the others are the fifth chapter. The rest is not extant in human society on this planet at the present time. But that's actually a summary of all the Srimad Bhagavatam. All the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam are summarized there. So it's non-different from Srimad Bhagavatam, but it doesn't appear within the text of Srimad Bhagavatam as we have it on this planet at the present time.
So often I get this
just topic. Like you see we have so many writings of the Goswamis. Rupa Goswami has Dana Keli Komadi, Lalita Madhav, Vidagda Madhav. So it's not directly Bhagavatam, but it is Bhagavatam. It's not different from Bhagavatam. It's continuation of the topics of Bhagavatam. The commentaries of the Acharyas there also. Actually, Prabhupada, he said that in his books, the translations are not of the verses are not so important as the commentaries, which he said anyone can translate the verses. That's quite an amazing statement, isn't it? He said the purport, that is most important. Actually, Prabhupada, when he was first teaching Krishna consciousness in America, he was using Dr. Radhakrishnan's translations before he recomposed his Bhagavad Gita. He'd composed it in India. It was stolen, his translation commentary. Then again he composed after he came to America. At first he was using Dr. Radhakrishnan's translation. One particular translation that Dr. Radhakrishnan had given, Prabhupada had already cut it up into pieces in some Bengali essays he had written previous to coming to America. He said it's better to He said, even though I know I'm making an enemy of Dr. Radha Krishna by doing this, he said, it's better to have a learned enemy than a foolish friend. Mm-hmm. So he went right in and cut it. Deluded scholars, that's translated as. That his translation that Dr. Radha Krishna translated, Manmana, think of me, Krishna says, as he comments, it's not the person Krishna on whom one should meditate, but the unborn eternal within Krishna. So Prabhupada, at the behest of a Gauriamata Brahmachari, wrote a few essays just criticizing this one statement of Dr. Radha Krishna. But Prabhupada used his translation and said the translation is 90% accurate. But it's the explanation that's the important point. Chinat sadhana. I see everyone has this habit of putting their hand on their mouth. So it's just like we're talking about sadhana, but it's like there's kindergarten, you know, before you go to school. So before you go to school, there's some things which actually the mothers are supposed to teach their children. Don't put your hand up. When you're brushing your teeth, and when you're eating, or maybe if you're a dentist, then you put the hand in the mouth. Otherwise, no. You're putting the hand in the mouth, then you'll be touching Srimad Bhagavatam, touching everything else. So. I want to become a kindergarten teacher. Firstly, you know, let others talk about Prem Bhava. They'll be talking Prem Bhava and then putting their hands with all over the Srimad Bhagavatam. So. I personally saw Srila Prabhupada tell the child, 1 year old, with the hand in the mouth, take this child out from here, wash his hand, teach him not to put his hand on his mouth. So we have 30-year-old babies here. They're still putting their hand in the mouth. Now I touched accidentally. Now I have to wash my hand. Just touch slightly. It should wash. Otherwise, how can we serve? Where we're doing a term of serving, worshipping the deity, but I don't know even basic rules of cleanliness. And how can we actually serve? All right, so any other points there?
In fact, two questions for us. One was in relation to a verse that you quoted towards the end of your lecture, Krishna Panabhikaratamahamdhyajani. I'm trying to search this.
It's by Madhusudan Saraswati, who's a Mayavadi, who even though he stated that, he's a Mayavadi. He's an insidious Mayavadi because he appears to be like a devotee. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur quotes him a lot. Bhaktivinoda Thakur pointed out, he says some good things, but then Bhaktivinoda Thakur pointed out the poison in between the lines. Madhusudan Saraswati is a, for those who study these things, who don't study cricket and so many other useless things, Madhusudan Saraswati's name is well known as a commentator on Bhagavatam. He was actually, he was a Gauriya Vaishnava who went to Varanasi to study. He went to the wrong place because he wasn't trained. He had that inclination, he was attracted to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, but he thought, let me study Sanskrit, and he went to Varanasi and he fell in the clutches of the Mayavadis. So he was attracted by bhakti, but he was never properly trained in that, and he became a victim of Advaitavad. That's the story. Beware of Mayavadis. beware of Mayavadis and get well trained in proper understanding from proper acharyas. Otherwise, in the name of bhakti, we may think it's bhakti, but it all ends up as Mayavad. What is that Mahatma Gandhi says? What is it? Krishna Allah Bhagavan Sab Teranam Sabko Sanlati De Bhagavan. Something like that. It's all the same. All the same. And even though he's supposed to be a great student of Bhagavad Gita, he said, I do not believe that any person such as Krishna ever existed. Then why he's reading Bhagavad Gita? Supposed to be a great devotee of Bhagavad Gita. Have to be careful. All that glitters is not gold. Those verses you were singing from Ramcharitmanas, praise of Lord Ram, you could maybe give me the reference. It sounded like very beautiful. I think that they're very famous among followers. Although in Prabhupada himself wasn't so inclined, but he did some. One time he spoke on one verse from Ramcharitmanas. So there are some beautiful things there, no doubt. But it's not part of our daily sadhana, maybe individually, but our daily sadhana is chanting Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Bhagavata Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Nevertheless, if you can give me maybe a photocopy of those, but at least on Ram Nomi I could read them. Yeah. Yeah, please ask.
Maharaji, you mentioned that the material education is like
material?
Material education or like knowledge about this world is like not so useful.
Not so useful. Yeah, it's ultimately of no value.
Yeah.
It's of no value to the soul.
We
are soul. Yeah.
So while we are like practicing sadhana bhakti and we have our material like jobs and
you have material jobs, you're doing sadhana bhakti. So for your material jobs, you need some material knowledge.
Yeah. How do we adjust the need or the demand for the knowledge to maintain our jobs?
How do you adjust the need? There is no adjustment. You just have to work like an ass, that's all. That's the adjustment. If you want to keep up your prestigious position in materialistic society, you have to work like an ass. That's all. Is it true or not? You tell me. If you want to keep up, you have to. It's a lot of work to keep up with all the latest trends and the latest software and hardware, brainware, they call that. So the adjustment is, if you really want to get ahead in this world, forget Krishna consciousness. Throw it out. There's no time for sadhana. So therefore we recommend don't make it your goal of life to be a big ass. You can be content being a small be Krishna's pet dog. That would be better. No, actually sadhana requires time. To study all these, who's going to read all these books? Takes time. In Srimad Bhagavatam we have to study. It's not a once in a life. And that we have to endeavor, we have to read again and again and again. So, sometimes some people are introduced to me and, oh, this person is a double PhD. I tell that, well, never mind. You can also be Krishna conscious by the grace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, despite so much disqualification, having so much garbage piled up in your head. Joro Bidda Joto Maya Bhai Bhav Tomar Bhajane Badha Moha Janamiya Anitta Shamsari Jivke Kore Gadha. These are the words of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Who from the external point of view was highly educated. But he said that this materialistic knowledge is simply a display of Maya, and it is an obstruction in Krishna consciousness, in worship of Krishna. It simply gives rise to more and more illusion in this temporary world and converts the jiva into an ass. That is his conclusion. He was learned and he studied actually. First of all, he became a teacher. In those days, a teacher was a prestigious position. And then he studied more. Even after he was married, he went on studying. He got his law degree. And he went to the highest position in government service that the British would allow any Indian to go. And they also, later, a British officer, after he was retired, a British officer told him that if you hadn't been Indian, we would have promoted you much further. But we couldn't allow, because it's the British administration. And I was thinking, he apologized. He said, I mistreated you because I thought if there are people as capable as you in administration, then the British rule cannot stand. If the Indians are so capable. So he was highly educated from the material point of view, but his writings, what he's left for the world in the field of, he made one small book on law. He wrote in Persian, because still at that time in much of North India especially, the law courts were conducted in Persian. That was going on from the time of Muslim rule. So, but his writings he wrote in English and especially in Sanskrit and Bengali. What his legacy to the world, which people don't know, even our devotees don't. I don't know what, how valuable. We don't have any idea. What are the contributions of Bhaktivinoda Thakur? Actually, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he did so much preaching. He wrote so much, but his whole aim was only to illuminate, to bring to the public's notice and educate them about what Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given. Whatever we're doing all over the world, this Krishna conscious movement is only, it's all the expansion of what Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given. What a tremendous contribution. So he was a grihastha. He was learned and expert in the material sense. But his overwhelming and lasting contribution is in the field of bhakti. Hare Krishna. Yeah, people are getting up. It's time to go. So let's finish there. For now. Hare Krishna. All glorious to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Etavad eva jignyasu. Tattva jignyasu nātmana. Andhya vyati vekābhyam. Yatra sar, yat syat sarvatra sarvada.
We have your books on the table.
Yeah, okay, yeah. You can tell people, I think mostly.